You are listening to SBS.
Ready to launch your business? Get started with the commerce platform made for entrepreneurs. Shopify is specially designed to help you start, run, and grow your business with easy customizable themes that let you build your brand, marketing tools that get your products out there, and that's just the beginning. From startups to scale-ups, online, in person, and on the go, Shopify is made for entrepreneurs like you. Shopify, your all-in-one commerce platform.
Sign up for your $1 a month trial at shopify.com.au/listen.
You're listening to SBS News.
I never, ever thought I would thank Donald Trump for anything. In my wildest dreams.
Russell Close has always worked with cars.
When you go through Yackandandah, there's the bottom garage. It's called Yackandandah Motors. That's what it used to be called. And that was my garage for many years. And before that, it was my father's garage. So I grew up looking after agricultural equipment, fixing cars, trucks out the front that would break down on the way to market with cows inside pissing on me while I was under the truck and whatnot. So that has been where I came from.
After opening his own business in Wodonga in the 90s, he spent around three decades importing and selling Japanese performance cars.
I've always enjoyed that, but once I got out of importing from Japan, that was it. I didn't want anything more to do with cars.
One day, after deciding to retire, someone in the community changed his mind. Now, he has a new business, selling electric cars. And his community, Yackandandah, is on its way to becoming 100% renewable. To understand his story and the community that shaped it, we have to go back a few decades.
When I was growing up, there were a lot of empty shops in Yack. It was a bit of a sleepy old town. I could kick the footy up the main street and not be worried about being hit by a truck. So, yeah, it's just, I don't know, one of those places that's pretty special to be here.
Max Horvath was born in Yackandandah, or Yack to the locals. One day, in 2002, a sign on the door of a business in town changed everything.
The original servo in town, which was owned by Jack Holden, he was going to close it down. It just wasn't viable for him anymore. So he put a notice on the window of the servo saying it's going to be closed in 10 days, which was a bit of a shock to some people.
At the time of the closure, people were moving out of small towns all across the country.
We took that for granted, and it's not going to be there anymore. And so a few people thought, oh, it's not good for the town, especially when you look at what was happening. I think there was a report came out in 1998 that in the previous decade, 30% of the small towns in Australia had a decline in population. So the towns were dying.
When small towns lose an essential service like the petrol station, it forces people to leave.
And then it's a real battle to keep the town going. So there are a few people, Phil Newman is one of them, and that was him walking around there before, said, what are we going to do?
So a group of seven locals formed the Yackandandah Community Development Company, or YCDCO, to buy the station and opened up the community to local shareholders. Moving locations, running at a loss, and relying on volunteers, it wasn't easy.
To find the money that was required without having anything is really difficult. You might have GoFundMe and those sorts of things now, but back then, none of that was around. You had to get the community involved to make it happen. And being the community that it is, most people said, yeah, well, that's worth doing. Let's do it.
Max now sits on the board of YCDCO. And the station is not only commercially sustainable, but makes a profit. With hundreds of local shareholders, all profits go either directly to locals or into funding grants for community projects like sporting clubs and health facilities. By owning the station, the board keeps prices down, and instead of selling cigarettes and snacks like other petrol stations, it's stocked with hardware and farm supplies. While still vulnerable to fuel supply issues, Max says the station was able to stay stocked when other regional towns were running dry.
We actually didn't run out of fuel here, and we can't do anything about the terminal gate price. That's totally out of our control. So prices went up, but in March we had the record month ever. And we did have to sort of ration the supplies a bit, but I think there was only one day or one night where we ran out of diesel, but apart from that we didn't run out.
Covered with rooftop solar and fixed with a battery, the station is able to keep both emissions and running costs down, meaning it can put more back into the community. And despite making its profits from fuel and hardware, it also owns an electric vehicle charger in town.
Can I lean?
Oh, yeah. Lean away.
Yeah, good. What I do best. Go Joe Hockey.
Russell Close now runs a second-hand EV business called Kilowatt Cars, selling cars from Yakandanda all the way to Darwin, alongside his son Cam and another local, Matt. After all but retiring, he says an event in town made him reconsider.
Then Matt Grogan, one of the partners in the company, just kept at me for nearly a year to start importing out of Japan again. And we met at one of the openings of a battery in Yakandanda up at Ben Gilbert's. You know, there's a community-owned battery there. And I sort of got home after that and thought, oh, God, we, particularly the older generation, have got to do something. We've just taken so much and it's time to start giving back a bit. So I rang Matt up and just said, look, let's do it. I'm not here to record a guilt trip for the older generation. You know, that's not what I'm saying, but I think particularly when you've got kids and they point things out which you would often miss, you know, when they start doing that, you start reflecting and thinking, yeah, we had pretty good times, and the times were fun, and, you know, it all just seemed normal, but there comes a time where you think, we took a lot, so it's time to start giving back and hopefully preserve something for the future generations, you know, and hope it's not going to be too late. So there has been an awakening.
For Russell, the motivation to go electric was clear.
I realised this the other day too, that, you know, I want it to be for future generations, but I want it to be for the fish and the birds and, you know, all the animals and the bugs and the insects. You know, our fish are dying because the oceans are warming. We've just got this swathe of destruction around us and it's time to try and address it.
But despite his motivations, Russell says switching over from petrol and diesel vehicles shouldn't have to be ideological.
By owning an EV, you're not missing out on anything. You know, the performance is phenomenal, the cost of ownership is great, and when they challenge me about this or that, I can challenge them straight back about the cost of fixing their diesel engine, because I know how much they cost. You know, and it's not just a couple of thousands, it's so expensive to repair a lot of that new stuff, because they'll always challenge me, what about the battery? You've got to replace them every few years, because that's been the dialogue they hear, you know, from various news outlets, whereas now batteries in these are basically life of vehicle.
While the recent fuel crisis has been crippling for many businesses, Russell says it's made the case for electrification even stronger.
I can't go and stop the fossil fuel industry, even though Donald Trump's doing a good job of it at the moment. But, you know, I've just got to do the best I can. What do I say here?
Yeah,
like, and just be careful where, you know, I trust you guys. But the point is, I never, ever thought I would thank Donald Trump for anything. In my wildest dreams. And he has promoted electrification, bang, like that. You know, I just sold so many cars after the first month of the invasion. So many. I could not get, and I'm still struggling to get stock now. You know, the price of second-hand ones has just gone up and everybody wants them, and it's all because of Donald.
In 2008, Matt Charles Jones moved to Yakandanda and lives in a house he built himself out of mud and straw bales.
the beauty of straw is that it's really deep walls, so super insulative. It's a waste product, and ultimately it's organic, so it would compost down and be, you know, used however. So all of those attributes add up well, and it kind of lends itself well to unskilled builders. I'm not a builder at all, because it's quite forgiving. You've got a deep wall, you can make mistakes and fix it relatively easily. And my mum lived in Yakandanda, which was about 30 k's from where I grew up. And so it was really just she died, and we were looking for somewhere nice to live, and so bought this house bought the property and built this house.
Back in 2002, when Yakandanda was facing a change beyond its control, the community refused to be left behind. In 2013, the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change released a landmark report, concluding with 95% certainty that human activity was the leading cause of recent global warming. With a background in ecology and outdoor education, Matt could see another change coming.
The fossil fuel industry makes a lot of money out of doing what they do, and so they're very skilled at adding misunderstanding and confusion and anger to what should be a really smart, logical next step. And it's hard. It can be really hard. And you don't need to go very far in a country community to find deep upset, an understandable upset about, you know, somebody's proposed a solar farm or a battery or a wind farm or a transmission line. And it's understandable because change is hard, but equally I think that we have to change. We have to change because of climate change.
So Matt and a few others pitched a project to the town, one that they hoped would someday end their reliance on fossil fuels.
So the council in March 2014 ran community information evening, and fortunately there was some amazing examples around Australia and around the world of communities that were doing some good thinking about, well, what do you need to do to localise electricity and to move on to the kind of next phase, knowing that the fossil fuel industry is in a sunset, you know, making a lot of noise but in a sunset phase.
For regions on the edge of power grids, increasing extreme weather events mean more vulnerability to outages and harsher conditions for farmers. While the rollout of large-scale renewables wasn't really an option in Yak, people here were determined to do something. That's when they founded Totally Renewable Yakandanda, or TRY, with funding support from the petrol station and the ambitious goal of becoming 100% powered by renewable energy.
And instead, the focus turned to what can you do on individual rooftops and small installations. And I suppose that finding was really foundational in what we've gone on to do with Totally Renewable Yakandanda. So let's keep it hyper-focused, rooftop by rooftop, individual needs by individual needs.
For over 10 years, Matt served as president of TRY. 12 years after it was founded, the town now owns two large-scale community batteries, and almost 70% of rooftops in the area have solar.
It means that the community building can spend much less on electricity. They then have their own power system, which is decarbonising their power supply. And in the instances where batteries are added, they've got the capability of running through outages. And so that becomes increasingly relevant when we get extremes in weather, obviously. And perhaps that's emergencies as well, because it means that people will lose power in their home because the network is so vulnerable to extremes in weather, and consequently they can come somewhere and cook and catch up with friends and have a cup of tea and go to the toilet, all of those things that when you live out in the country and you lose power, you lose water, you lose heating and cooling, you know, and it happens more often than would be ideal.
By keeping power in the hands of locals, Yak has shown how regional Australians don't have to be passive recipients of energy projects. Households with rooftop solar not only reduce emissions and bring down energy bills, but they can also feed power back into the grid and earn money through feed-in tariffs. While change is undeniably difficult, Matt argues that the willingness to adapt has made the town strong.
It's a powerful exemplar in Yakandanda to Yakandanda people that if you have an issue and then you focus on it and set a goal, then you can resolve it. And so the petrol station is an energy company. It's community owned. It returns dividends. It's kept the fuel supply alive in the town. A really powerful example of what we've just picked up and used, but done it with electricity.
In part two of this two-part series, SBS looks at how totally renewable Yakandanda continues to make a difference, and how renewable projects can succeed when they keep communities at the centre. Sydney Lang, SBS News.
SBS is Australia's most trusted multilingual broadcaster. Our listeners are loyal, highly engaged, and have supported countless local businesses. We offer advertising packages for businesses of all sizes. Our experienced sales team will guide you through the process of owning a great campaign. Bring your own ad or have our production team make you something in one of our 68 languages. Start the conversation with your new audience today. Email sales@sbs.com.au.